Let's take our Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, as we continue our study through the book of Colossians, it's always enjoyable to see how these just build one week after another. And last week we saw some powerful words in one sentence in Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And we talked about beginning again last week, about the joy of coming back to the Lord and getting back to that place with Him and finding that joy that has been lost, and remembering the joy of the gospel and what it does to transform and change our lives. That there is hope in who He is. And this morning we're going to continue to build upon this, because as Paul is building here, he starts there with that foundation that we're to be rooted in, to be built in, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. That we're rooted and we're built up in Him and we're established in that faith. There is where we start. That's our rock. That is in Christ alone. But you know what? It's amazing at how easy this world can distract us from that foundation. How easy the world can get us off kilter. And sometimes how easy ourselves can get us off kilter. And this morning, as we look at this next passage, we're going to look at the beginning this week in verses 8 down through verse 15. And there's so much truth in here, we're going to split this into two parts. But I want us to see the full captivation. The full captivation. We've been talking about, as we've been preaching through Colossians, this group of people that were causing some of the Colossians to go astray. They were called the Gnostics. And we're going to see a little bit more of how they were playing into some of this. But let's read this here in chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. We're going to go ahead and read down through verse 15, although today we're really looking at verses 8 through 10. Paul says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. See to it that no one takes you captive." Here is Paul's charge here, beginning in verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive. The imperative, the command is in this word "see." He is wanting them to take guard, to really take notice. Make sure that you guard yourself, defend yourself. Do not allow this to happen. See to it that no one takes you captive. The word "captive" here, it has the idea of to rob and to spoil and to take away, to bring you away captive as plunder. To take you away. And so here we have Paul charging these Colossians, listen, guard yourself. Remember verses 6 and 7, your foundation is Jesus Christ. Guard yourself, because there are those that want to take you away from that foundation. See to it that no one takes you captive. Because it is an easy world to be captivated by so many things. to be captivated by technology. I get captivated by those stupid little food recipe videos on Facebook. And if Robert Hicks would quit sending the steak ones, I'd be in a lot better shape. Isn't it easy to be captivated by so many different things and to be taken away from that which is really meaningful in our life, and that's Jesus Christ? It reminds me of this builder who was tasked to build a house for a millionaire. And as he was building the house, he was getting to the exterior, and the exterior was to be brick. And the millionaire had a challenge for this builder. He says, I want to see how good you are. And in fact, he gave him this bonus. He said, I will give you a bonus of $1 million if you take this many bricks and complete the house with this many bricks. So the builder began building the house, brick after brick. And he would just watch, and each day he was looking, he was calculating. Next brick go in, and day after day he continued on until that one day came when he was putting in, setting in the last brick there with the homeowner watching him. He set that brick into place and he stood back and he admired. And he looked over at the pallet. And there at the bottom of the pallet was one brick. And it captivated him. It spoiled him. He took that one brick, and there, and just looking at it and staring at it, knowing it took it, he just took that brick and threw it straight in the air, just watching it. You know, there's been experiments done where people have just stood there and looked up into the air and pointed with nothing really there to watch people that would just come up and look and say, what are they looking at? And then all of a sudden they step back and the people are just sitting there continuing to look and see what is happening there. And it just takes their total captivation. There are so many things in this world that take our attention, and they can take us away from that of Jesus Christ. And Paul here this morning in this challenge, he's saying, see to it that you are not taken captive. So this morning we want to see what that full captivation is. The first thing Paul shows us is the deception of the world. The deception of the world. Look there in verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Hopefully you are seeing here and you're tracking along here and you can see the difference here. Now what Paul is saying is that there is a philosophy, there is a way of thinking, and there's a pattern of life that does not include Christ. So in Scripture, all throughout Scripture, we see that as defined as the way of the world. The love of the world. That is because we see throughout Scripture that even Satan is referred to as the god of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We have the princes and powers of the air, as is talked about in Ephesians chapter 6. And we see that this world has a system of principles, it has a system and ideas that are contrary to that of the Lord. And they are working against him. And all these ideas are pulling against him, and it's the deception of the world. Now this philosophy, this empty deceit, what Paul is not saying is that all philosophy is bad. And when we use the word philosophy here, and the word philosophy in this time when Paul was using it, it referred to many different theories. Theories about God, theories about the beginning of life. And philosophy that was a big part of the Greek culture. You know, you had starting with Plato and Aristotle and all these great philosophers, Cicero, all these ones going down. And this idea of philosophy included a lot of debate. In fact, if you've ever had to read Plato or Aristotle, you better get used to reading in a debate format because he writes as these different peoples. And as you look at all of this that's going about, what Paul is not saying is that all philosophy is bad. He is saying that there is a philosophy that is empty. There's a philosophy that is deceptive. And that is a philosophy that's void of Jesus Christ. A philosophy that's without him. Because notice what he says about the philosophy of the world. He says it's empty deceit. Empty deceit in this word here, bringing about this idea, it's an empty illusion. It looks like something's there, but there really isn't. And there's nothing of substance to take a hold. You ever notice that they have to keep coming out with self-help books? Because one wasn't good enough. So they keep coming out. And each year you will see brand new self-help books. And there's always something new to try. One minute bacon's bad for you. Next minute it's good for you. One minute don't eat eggs. The next minute you need to eat 3 eggs a day. You know, and we go through all this stuff back and forth. And it's all this empty illusion. It looks good. It looks great. But if it's devoid of Jesus Christ, it's not going to answer your life's questions. It's empty deceit. Not only that, he says it's according to human tradition. What this is bringing about is an idea of age. He's saying in this human tradition, he says they're bringing about an idea of something that's been passed down through the years to try to give it some validity. You ever notice when someone comes out with a new idea, it's all of a sudden from some ancient unknown group that you've never heard of, that all of a sudden they have found these new things. It's much like emojis. Have you noticed that today we've gone to this new text? I got this new way of texting, and boy, our teens are good about it, and some of you adults are getting really good about using emojis. And these little smiley face or crying faces and all these different ones that you can send out. And it's like, oh, this is a new way of text. And then you go back and look at the Egyptians and realize they used pictures to communicate too, called hieroglyphics. And it seems like we are kind of reverting back to some of that. And it's according to this human tradition. It has this great appearance. Listen, if something is going to be deceptive, it's got to have a little bit of the truth mixed into it. In fact, maybe you remember back when the book Da Vinci Code came out, and the movie The Da Vinci Code came out, and there was a bunch of uproar over the movie and all of this. And everybody was up for, you know what? It was fiction. It was meant to be fiction. And it was fiction from the very beginning. But he mixed in just a little bit of bits and pieces in there that caused people to be deceived. And to get up and into these arms and these different things. You will notice that this happens. Think of the different cults and the different things that have started, that they have taken a little bit of truths here and here and then continue to pass it down until all of a sudden it is completely deceptive and people have given their lives for these things. Paul's saying, listen, don't be taken captive. Don't be taken away by philosophy that's empty. That's according to human tradition. And then he says, according to the elemental spirits of the world. Now, the word used here for elemental spirits is using words that bring in the idea of the powers over the calendars and the seasons and the times and these different things. And bringing in kind of a very, kind of the pagan ideas of fate, and all of this is coming into play. As it was used in different places and tied to the calendar and the different situations with the seasons and all this. And when he's bringing about the idea of kind of a demonic presence of these ones over these different powers and these different things, he says this philosophy that is more about this is empty deceit. It's an illusion when it's according to the elemental spirits of the world. You know, we find a lot of times, and it kind of makes me stop and pause when Christians throw out the word karma. Folks, karma comes from a different religion and a different religion's thoughts. And it comes in with some of this idea of the elemental spirits. We need to be careful about thinking about in those types of terms, because it can be something that is deceptive. You know, it says in 1 John 2:15-16, love not the world, neither the things are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Listen, it's going to look pretty. It's going to look good. And it might have some bits and pieces in there that make you think, and all of a sudden it's going to deceive you and take you away from Jesus Christ. when it takes us away from Jesus Christ, and when it takes us away from the power of the gospel, we are heading down a path that will not be fulfilling. And it's very easy to do. My dad, when I was first pastoring, some different situations come up. My dad was telling me some stories and different things about times, and there was one particular time he was telling me about some marriage counseling that he was working with, and there was this couple that was just fighting. And it was just breaking his heart. They were fighting over this, and they came into his office, and when they came into his office, the man came in with his cigars. And he had all these cigars, and the woman came in with her cat, and my dad hated cats, all right? He was a dog person. And they sit down, and they just started fighting, and they started fighting, and the man said, it's this cat, she loves this cat more than me, all this, and they're just fighting. The woman says, it's these cigars, he smokes them everywhere, and you can see how it's just smelling up, it's terrible, and they were just fighting, and my dad, sometimes just kind of loses it, and he says, all right, it's enough! And he slammed his hands on the desk. He said, I'm going to give you something to do. If you don't do it, we're done. He says, I want you to take a vacation. And I want you to leave the cigars at home. And I want you to leave the cat at home. I said, okay. So they planned this vacation to Hawaii. They'd never been to Hawaii. They get on a plane. They're heading to Hawaii. Everything seems to be okay. Until the husband notices the rather large handbag the wife took with her. And the rather large handbag started moving. And there in the middle of the plane, this cat sticks its head out, and the man just goes ballistic. He said, we were supposed to go together. We weren't supposed to have this. And all of a sudden, you have brought this cat. All this trouble now, and now we're here. So you know what? If you're going to be that way, and he reaches in his back pocket and pulls out a cigar, which is totally not able to happen on an airplane. He lights it up. The stewardess is flipping out. She comes running down the aisle. She grabs the cat. She grabs the cigar. She says, you know that these are illegal. You're not supposed to have these on the plane. She runs to the front of the plane. And I guess at some point after 9/11, they created a hatch for stewardess. And they put this stuff in this hatch, close the lid, hits the button, boom. There goes the cat and the cigars. They land in Hawaii. And as they are taxiing to the gate, the man looks out the window. And there on the wing, with its claws dug into the wing, is the cat. And guess what was in its mouth? No, the brick. What I want you to see there, how easily you can be deceived. You know, you mix a little truth in there, like my dad counseling this couple. This was a totally fictitious couple, okay? Don't worry about it. I wasn't betraying any trust or anything. But you mix in a little bit of truth, and sometimes we begin to believe things with it. You know what? They don't have hatches to throw things out the window of the airplane, okay? But all of this that goes on, sometimes we see that happen to our walk with Jesus Christ all the time. That we allow these little bits and pieces to get into our life. And all of a sudden we hear something a little bit good here. Or maybe we hear or see a little story that we think is okay over here. And we see a picture or we see something fascinating. It gets our attention. And all of a sudden, because of that philosophy and because of that little thing that we like, that empty tradition, we are far apart from Jesus Christ. And we're far apart from the truth of Jesus Christ. Paul says this is empty deceit. It's according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. I don't care what you read. I don't care what you hear. If it doesn't follow along with what God has shown us in the Word of God, it is going to pull you away from Him. And we see the truth of Jesus Christ that's found here. So we see the deception of the world. Now next, see the divinity of Christ. Look at verse number 9. He says, "For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority." For in Him, in Jesus Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Here he says, this empty tradition, don't be taken captive by it, because there is something that is far greater, and what is far greater is Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead. And what is happening here, when he uses this word fullness, he is talking directly to the group of people that are taking the people away from Jesus Christ. Because they were using this idea of fullness as Jesus Christ was only a part of it. That he was just an emanation from God. That he just came from God and he was just one of the lesser spirits. And he was something that led you to God. But he was not God. He was not a part of it. You needed something more than Jesus Christ. You needed more of truth. You needed more wisdom. You needed more growth. And you needed to attain to this different level. My folks, if Jesus Christ is all that we have this morning, that's all that we need. And Jesus Christ is all in the fullness of God. This word that Paul uses is showing this idea of fullness of Jesus Christ, as He is not just a lesser part of God. He is completely full of God. He is God. And so when that God there died on the cross for us, it was a full payment for our sins. No one else needed to make a payment, because God in fullness made the payment for us. This is the divinity of Christ. This is what we are to be captivated by. Because in Him dwells this fullness. What Paul wants us to see today is that the fullness of Christ is simply captivating. The fullness of Christ is simply captivating. I'm afraid when we try to add things to Jesus, and we try to add things to His Word, and we try to add little bits and pieces to make it feel like we need something more than Him, we are missing out on the fullness of who Jesus Christ is. We place our faith, we place our trust in that gospel and understanding that Jesus Christ has made the payment. And next week, in the next part, we're going to see even more what this details and how this plays out. But this morning, see that the fullness of Christ is simply captivating. And instead of the philosophies of the world, instead of the traditions of man, listen, folks, the church is very susceptible to following those things. There are whole denominations that base their practices on the traditions that were started thousands of years ago. And the whole reason why come along about 1500 that there needed to be a reformation and there needed to be a chance to get back to what the Word says by faith in Jesus Christ alone that we have salvation. That honors the fullness of who Jesus Christ is. If somebody tells you that you need something other than Jesus Christ to know that you have salvation, you know that they are not trusting in this Jesus. Because this Jesus is full of God, and His sacrifice on the cross was full for us, that we don't need anything else but Jesus Christ. It's the divinity of Christ, this fullness of Christ. And it is simply captivating. A few weeks ago, when we were at the Grand Canyon, it was just an incredible experience to stand there. If you've ever seen it, it's amazing. And as we walk up to it, when we drove to it, we went to the farthest east point that we could go. And then we worked our way back to the different viewpoints on our way back. And I love taking pictures. And it's kind of a hobby of mine is photography. And in one spot that we were at, we pulled up and Hayden and I, we jumped out. We left Finn strapped in the car. There wasn't a good enough fence for Finn, all right? He wanted to get her out. Hayden and I, we went down to the edge and I took this picture. and you look at the Grand Canyon, and it is so vast. It's so big. And you stand there and you just try to take it in, and you look from one direction to the other direction, and it's just this vast gorge and all these beautiful rock formations that, you know, who knew rocks could be so pretty? But you know, as I stood up to that vastness, there was no way I could take it all in. There's no way I could capture it all. But you know, I took my camera, I raised it, and I snapped a picture. And you know what that picture is full of? It's full of the Grand Canyon. Verse 10. And you have been filled in Him who is the head of all the rule and authority. You don't want to know what's really captivating this morning? That Christ that is fully God, that is someone that we can't even imagine all the depth and all the wisdom and all the joy and all that He has, is what fills us. And so when we take our camera and we take a picture, we get to have it full of Jesus Christ. Oh, He's so much bigger than us. He's so much bigger than what we could be. But yet He, in His fullness of God, is what fills us. And that is captivating. The question is then, how are we going to let that fullness come forward? In Him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him. Paul says you don't need this philosophy of the world that forgets Jesus Christ, because you have been filled with Jesus Christ. You've been filled with this fullness. You know what? Have you gotten away from Jesus Christ? Why don't get back and start reading right there in the Gospels and read about Him. Start in Mark and see His actions. Start in John and see the deity of Him. Start in Matthew and see His royal kingship and how He fulfilled Scripture. See Luke and see that humanity of man that Dr. Luke talks about, and see the fullness of who Jesus Christ is. If your relationship with Jesus Christ is waning, get back to looking straight at Him and realizing He is simply captivating when we allow Him to be there. When we allow ourselves to be filled by Him. I love this psalm this morning from David in Psalm 56, in verses 12 and 13. He says, I must perform my vows to You, O God. I will render thank offerings to You, for You have delivered my soul from death. Yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Why is it that we as believers can trust Jesus Christ for our salvation, but we can't trust Him each and every day? If He can keep our soul from death, folks, He can keep our feet from falling when we allow Him to be the fullness of God. The world is putting distractions out before us. Maybe it's time for us to set those aside, to quit being captive, and to look fully at who Jesus Christ is, to see His fullness and to fall in love with Him, our first love. Shall we stand? With our heads bowed, our eyes closed. As we come to this part of our worship, this is our time of response. And I want to ask you this morning, are you fully captivated by Jesus Christ? Or is something distracting you today? Because in Jesus Christ is the fullness of God. And listen, God is big. And if God is big and Jesus Christ is full, I pray that today you would trust none other than Him. That He would fill your life. Oh, there are the distractions that are out there, and there are many things that keep us off guard, and there's many things that take us away. But right now, in this moment, can we just remove it all and say, Lord, I want to be filled. I want to be captivated by You right now. I want to see Your bigness. I want to follow You. I want to trust that You have a plan that's bigger than my plan. I want to trust that even when I don't feel like following, that You are worth me following. I want to restore that love for You. I want to be captivated by You. Has there ever been that time in your life where you have turned it over to Him? You said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need You to forgive me of my sins. I need You to come into my heart, into my life, so that You might show me Your salvation. The Bible tells us if we confess, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe today we need to come to Him and to be captivated by Him and to turn our life over to Him. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, are you fully captivated by Him this morning? That's our question. Because the fullness of Christ is simply captivating. Our dear Father, Lord, I pray now that as we come to this time of invitation, Lord, that You would move. Help us, Lord, to respond to You, Lord, with those that are dealing with issues in their hearts and their lives. And Lord, as Your Spirit moves right now, I pray that You would give us courage to come to an altar if we need to. That You'd give us courage to step out and to receive You as Savior if we need it. Lord, help us to turn our eyes upon You. To look full in Your wonderful face. Lord, we give You the thanks and praise, for it's in Your name we pray.